笑も涙もきっとすべて君に出会うためだった
Hello everyone, welcome back to Captain Earth. I'm Metanorn. This is episode 12, Boys Battle, and I have J-Ray with me.
What's up?
And Skyline.
Hello folks.
Hey, what's up? And no, we're not going to be battling here either. We're not going to fight each other. But there is some fighting.
Punch each other in the gut and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Go for the jugular. This is not JoJo. Yeah. But... but yeah, this week we have, you know, the usual formula. Like last week we have the new planetary gear introduced, and their plot, their story, like, you know, what they're up to, and since they're, I guess, lost their memories. And this week we discover a new kid named Baku. He's kind of, I guess, older. He looks like he's like Amra's age almost, mm-hmm. and maybe his same build.
Yeah, similar. I mean, for a UFC fighter, of course, you gotta be.
Right. Yeah, because in the beginning we find out, I guess he was a slave, or always a slave, and he's been, I guess, bought into a Yakuza family, and they participate in illegal underground fighting, so they put all these, you know, these prisoners or slaves up against each other for prize money, and people mm-hmm. bet and things like that, so kind of a different type of tone of the episode, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, about the Yakuza leader, I hadn't realized until that flashback that was the same guy. Like, I had just forgotten about him from the episode with Zen.
Yeah, the casino. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. But then it adds up that, yeah, they're doing the typical Yakuza type thing. Oh, yeah, you have a casino and they own this underground boxing thing. Like, mm-hmm. So they got their hand in almost everything, probably. And there's something with him at the end that confused the hell out of me, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah. But Kumiko, I wanted to ask about, get confirmation. Is Kumiko like a... like just somebody that Baku knows and can communicate with, or what's the actual relation there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the beginning, she was the one that picked him. I guess that's her personal slave that, you know, she bought beginning when her dad brought her to the prison. Mm-hmm. And her role, yeah, it's weird because those two have something in common, because I think both of them have like nightmares or something. There's something that's haunting their past that they were both involved in. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with, like, a boat crash, or... so I think he's probably saved her life, or something like that, and both of them have some kind of connection. But, yeah, it's like... I mean, these two have something. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see what becomes of these two later on, but... during this, you know, I guess we have Akari and all of them kind of doing their thing this week, and they investigate this underground fighting arena, because for some reason they figure out that's where the planetary gear is going to be. I didn't understand that part, but...
It was almost like they had a lead on somebody, and when they went down there, I kind of thought they were overdressing, like, you know, watching boxing, but I guess they didn't when they went in there, and, you know, everybody's betting.
Right, and Akari's just like,
well,
flash the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Money,
it's like, flash the money. I like it.
Where did she pick that amount of money up, man?
That's all I want to know. That's the mystery right now.
She is a super hacker, probably hacked into some banks and ATMs.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past her.
Pretty easy to do when you, you know, ritually hide behind at least four proxies.
Yeah. And speaking of the kids, I mean, they're learning about the Phils this week, especially Akari and, not Akari, but Hana and Daichi. Oh my god. Kissing him on the lips while he's sleeping. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I see what's going on here. Yeah, and then you see a wedding afterwards.
Yeah, I think she's pretty much staked her claim on the captain, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much an incredibly bold, just, you know, incredibly thoughtful move on her part. So, you know, I think we can probably bump Hana up a little bit more on the characterization scale right now. Still waters, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised that scene actually happened to completion. Because how many times in anime, she's almost gonna kiss, and then
Forehead.
Wakes up. Yeah, what? Yeah.
Yeah, or he rolls to the side.
Hey.
Yeah, something weird.
We had two almost kisses in Dragonar this past weekend, for crying out loud. You know, at least one week or one day we get, you know, one full kiss. Good job, anime.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Akari was one that suggested it, and I'm like, okay, Akari.
Yeah, and Hana didn't have any sort of reservations about it. She was like, no. You know, okay, I'll just go over there and give him a kiss goodnight. And
it's just a normal day for her. She's like, hey, whatever. I was surprised that Rita said something in her internal thoughts. She was saying that, is this really, really what we should be doing with this group? And I kind of agree with her. It's like, you know, it's not really a time and place for that kind of thing, but I guess since they're all together, you know.
Akari just wants to see some action, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the kind of girl Akari is. She just wants to instigate some action whenever and wherever she can.
Yeah, either start it or stop it, because she has a habit of doing that. Like, one week when we chase the blue-haired girl, too, like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if next week she would be able to, like, say, so, Hana, threesome? Cool? And Hana would be like, okay.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, my God. But,
Can I just talk about the scene where they saw the wedding? At first, I kind of felt a little confused, like, what's the real takeaway from that scene here as it was happening? And eventually, they kind of felt like, oh, you know, if the, you know, Kilt gang has their way, all these people are going to die and we have to protect them. Because at first, it kind of started off as this scene where Akari and Tepe were kind of, you know, kind of asking Daichi about, you know, having kissed someone or anything like that, and it was almost kind of a scene to make him feel a little awkward at first. But Daichi and Hana were so oblivious to what, you know, they were trying to do that it at first it kind of felt like the scene didn't really have anything, until they mentioned the fact that you know, they were learning about the feels and that they kind of felt like they wanted to protect the people.
Right. I mean, it can do it that way, and you can look at it as like, if they protect the Earth, they can have a future and actually have a wedding. Mm-hmm. Maybe these two can get married one day. You know, and I figured it's more for the more for Hana to, like, you know. I was waiting for her to say what's a wedding, you know, and them telling her what a wedding is. And, but it's like they didn't do that, so I was like,
yeah,
I guess
face would get red in embarrassment.
Right, and she's like, oh, well, that's what I want, you know, something like that. But yeah, well, they learned the feels. We learned. You get the fight of the week, which is basically a boxing fight between Amara and Baku, and they fight, and I guess it's a moment where both of them kind of, I guess he kind of has a vision of what it used to be, and we see Baku in, like, this green robot, and I'm going to guess that him and Amara probably, like, sparred a lot, they probably fought a lot, they're probably really close friends that, you know, trained a lot, I guess I would say, because out of the other kids, they don't really have anyone that built as these two.
Yeah. The bond here seems unique from what we've seen so far, in that there actually was a bond.
Right, yeah, they have a past together, and I was almost expecting Bones to go through a, you know, man-on-man kiss, but they didn't do it, so I'm glad. Because, like, they're fighting, I'm like, how is he going to get his memories back? I'm like, Mocha's not around anywhere. So I was assuming that was going to happen, but no, they didn't, and in fact, Baku's actually scared of Amara and Mocha, which is kind of different. Because the others didn't have really ran, yeah. Go ahead.
He's kind of made some sort of strange peace with his lifestyle that he's in right now. You know, he's content in doing, you know, exactly what he wants to do. Like a lot of the Planetary Gears that were, you know, brought back to Planetary Gear status, you know, they all seem to be more or less content, if not kind of, you know, spinning their wheels in where they were right now. He's probably the most content of the bunch.
Mm-hmm. Him and
probably
are similar.
It probably has a lot to do with Kimiko herself. You know, that she brought up that idea of that talisman, which could protect her from nightmares. Interesting thing, a Baku in Japanese mythology is a creature that eats dreams and nightmares.
Oh, yeah, that works, yeah.
So he was her talisman all along.
True. And he did make the comment to Mocha at the end when she pulls a gun on him, you know, guns are allowed. So it's like he's definitely taken the fighting, the rules of the fighting he's been doing into, like, his personal life almost. And I guess he escaped at the end. It's kind of weird. He got got out of the prison, I guess.
He just read too many Batman. He just read too many Batman comics. You know, come on. Probably. Batman doesn't fight with guns. Those are for cowards.
Yeah, true. And then, that's kind of like he leaves, and there's a bit with the Yakuza leader getting stabbed by, I think, I don't know who did it.
Yeah.
The redhead, I guess he did it. Yeah,
Zen.
Yeah. And, I'm expecting, he's going to die because they have an ambulance there, and they're all worried about he's dying, and suddenly he just sits up like nothing's wrong with him.
I thought it was funny in that scene they were talking about, you know, I can't confirm it, and we need a doctor to get here, but this guy looks dead. Or, you know, he almost said that. I was like, well, no, duh, he's dead. And then what happens? Opens his eyes and gets up, and then does the laugh thing.
Yep. Because apparently he's immortal, and I don't know why. I'm very confused on why they have this, you know, theme going on with this character especially.
Yeah, that is a curveball that the series is thrown, and it's a really odd one.
It makes me wonder if this wasn't something that was set up from, you know, before the series began with whatever organization is on Earthside that's teamed up with the Planetary Gears. You know, I mean, this Yakuza guy has been featured in two of their characters.
Right, yeah.
So I wonder if this is sort of a trade-off, if they gave him a little bit of what they got, a little bit of their juice, just to basically more or less say, hey, look, you know, when the time comes, we're taking these people, and you're just going to have to live with that.
Yeah.
And you're going to live a long time with that, too.
I
imagine not getting killed. Not getting killed as the Yakuza leader is probably a pretty good boon.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. It would be. But, yeah, like you said, it's probably going to play something a little bit later. But, yeah, just like you said, you're a curveball. I did not expect immortals. I'm like, I know we have aliens, and we have, you know, all this, you know, still energy, body, they want to do body switches here with the, you know, some experiments. So it's like, there's a lot of science fiction going in this.
Yeah, you see by this point that, you know, we've seen Mal try and use the planetary gears to her advantage. And we see this guy who we initially thought was just random Yakuza guy that was in it for money and everything. And now he was killed and then, but he wasn't killed. People don't die when they are killed in Captain Earth. That's what we're learning here. And that, you know, we just have another, like, who is he associated with that that Sky was talking about a little bit, and how many people are going after different things here.
Right, yeah. They have definitely been showing us lately that humans will exploit these planetary gears if given the chance. And, you know, Rita, it's like Rita's trying to do her best to find these kids so that she can protect them, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they're your enemies, technically. So it's like, but yeah, I'm wondering with this immortality thing, and with Baku, I know he's in the next episode, so they're still going to be hunting him. And it's almost like if Baku teams up with Setsuna, I mean, they both have the similar thing where they don't want to be used by the humans, so they're kind of scared of basically everybody right now. So it's like, I could see those two teaming up for a little bit. They ran into each other.
Well, it's been a pretty good development so far because they took the other planetary gears in short order. So it felt like they were kind of building up kind of like a plot progression to be saying, you know, this is what they are, this is what they can do, kind of Earthside without being too terribly much of a threat as of yet. And so with Baku, since he has that, you know, a deeper connection, and since all the other stuff that was happening around him was, you know, much larger on, you know, the plot, probably spring from that a little bit in some direction.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. And that was kind of the episode with the big twist at the end, you know, the immortal casino Yakuza dude. You guys got anything else to say about anything extra maybe?
Moko was especially hot this episode, I kind of thought, to be perfectly honest. Like, I know it's, you know, it's not like she changed clothes or anything like that, but it seemed like the way they drew her in a lot of the poses and stuff, I was like, I'm not gonna lie, I just was like, damn.
Yeah, I know. I was like, geez. And the other girl, her name, I blanked on her name again. Like, what we were saying off air, she looks like the main girl from the Cult Academy.
Kumiko, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's got that dynamite body, I was saying. Especially Mocha, it's like, if one thing Captain Earth's done well, definitely the female character designs. That's all I'd say.
And there was a funny moment where that Yakuza guy was sort of teasing her, saying, "Does that mascot really give you a sleep-filled night without nightmares?" And then the lackey driver, "Does that really?" Not totally getting that he's just being an asshole to her.
Right, he's just like, "I need one of those, like, you dumbass." I was waiting for, like, hit him in the back of the head or something. Kind of that, like, mobster kind of thing that they do as a, you know, a gag in some movies I've seen. Mm-hmm. The straight man fat, whatever you call it. So it's like, it was pretty funny. But yeah, the girl, the female designs, yeah, they're really good this in the show.
So if they do end up having that Akari-inspired threesome, will Tepe once again feel powerless?
Yeah, probably. You'd probably be in the corner crying, like, "I don't know what to do. I need my robot powers." And then Moko will walk in, and, "Oh my god, it's okay.
Or it could lead to an exchange of the talisman again, you know? I mean, hey, Tepe, oh, you really surprised me. sorry, folks. Sorry, I call him as I see him in your kind of way. You know, that's just what you get.
I get the feeling like at some point down the road we're going to be playing a Linkin Park song for Tepe.
Yeah, probably. As he, you know, slowly pulls out a razor blade. Yeah, just contemplating that. Man. Anyway. But,
Totally beyond my generation. I don't think I ever got Linkin Park. Can you sum that up in maybe Trent Reznor or Nine Inch Nails or something like that? Because that's right in my vault.
Probably. I mean, there's probably a couple songs I could use, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah. So yeah, we're at the halfway point. So I guess we can. I'm not sure if we're going to introduce any more gears, but hopefully we don't. I think Baku was the last one, technically.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, the break between cores would be the best place to stop introducing new characters, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like Bleach, where you hear that, "Oh, I don't know what to do with the plot. I'll make up a new character and throw him at everyone."
If I'm correct, episode 8 was when Zin was introduced as the first planetary year. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Setsuna counts as one, and then Baku. So you have 5. So we're still looking at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's one more.
Right. And my speculation is Hana's probably that last one, I'm thinking. I'm thinking she's the last gear.
Dun dun dun.
Yep, that's the theory I'm going with anyway. But she's kind of too gear? Quiet for her own good. Yeah.
A she gear that had really a move missing. Blaster.
Yeah. Yep, could be. I mean, she was the first one technically to arrive on Earth. Back in her flashback, she said, so it's like... I wouldn't be surprised if she was the last one.
She might be a planetary gear, but kind of like that fifth column kind of thing. She's kind of spoiling... Trying to say, right. Or she could be trying to play both sides. Oh, which side of this conflict am I going to get on?
Yeah. Yep. So, I guess see you guys next time for episode 13. See ya.
See you later.
See ya.